This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Dueling views of last week's narrowly House-passed COVID relief bill paint an uncertain path forward for massive $1.9 trillion in spending. Warning lights are already flashing despite the hundreds of billions in virus aid packages for agriculture, meals, jobs, businesses, states and cities, and vaccinations. House Ag Chairman David Scott lectured Republicans on the need to extend a 15% boost in SNAP benefits.
The American people are crying out, Congress, help us. We have support of our measure from the American Farm Federation, from Cargo, and we have support of our legislation from God Almighty Himself. What did He tell you and me? He said, feed the hungry and heal the sick.
But Rules Committee Republican Guy Reschenthaler tried to bring the emotional debate back to earth.
This bill, which is the most expensive single bill in history, only allocates 9% of the $1.9 trillion price tag to actually defeating COVID. So what are the Democrats spending the rest of the money on? Just look at it. $100 million for a Silicon Valley rail project near Speaker Pelosi's district. Totally coincidental, I'm sure. Taxpayer-funded healthcare subsidies for illegal immigrants, $50 million for Planned Parenthood, a minimum wage mandate that right off the bat would kill 1.4 million American jobs.
The Senate parliamentarian ruled the $15 federal minimum wage can't stay in when the House bill comes over under budget rules that allow Democrats to pass it with a simple majority. That issue and the bill's price tag will invite Senate changes, while billions for USDA food donation buys, food supply chain resiliency, and rural COVID services still make the measures attractive to some rural lawmakers. In other ag news from around the country, data from the Department of Agriculture shows the number of licensed dairy operators in the United States is continuing to decline. Analyzed by the American Farm Bureau Federation in a Market Intel article, USDA's milk production report showed the fourth largest year-over-year decline in the number of licensed dairy operations in the last 15 years. There were 2,550 fewer licensed dairy operations in 2020 than in 2019, when the number dropped by 3,261. The overall number of licensed operations in the U.S. has marched steadily downward since the data collection began, declining by more than 55% from 70,375 in 2003 to 31,657 in 2020. AFBF suggests this recent acceleration of the decline reflects how difficult it is to operate a dairy in a low milk price environment. Since the end of 2014, dairy farmers have struggled with low prices followed by an industry-disrupting pandemic that increased milk price volatility and rendered risk management tools mostly ineffective. At the end of February, the USDA recently finished a months-long investigation into thousands of reports from citizens who received unsolicited seed packages in the mail last year. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service found no evidence that someone was intentionally trying to harm U.S. agriculture with the shipments. APHIS did confirm that some of the seeds sent to the U.S. were unsolicited, but others were seeds that the recipients ordered, although the buyers did not know they were coming from a foreign country. Regardless, most shipments were illegal because they came into the country without a permit or phytosanitary certificate. Plants and seeds for planting online from other countries can pose a significant risk to U.S. agriculture and natural resources because they can carry harmful insects and pathogens, according to the Plant Protection and Quarantine Program that they said in a statement. We've been closely working with e-commerce companies and other federal partners to stop the flow of illegal plant and seed shipments into the United States. The agency set up a new site to help in its efforts to facilitate the safe trade of plants and seeds through its e-commerce pathway. More information is available online at aphis.usda.gov. And the Department of Agriculture, Thursday of last week, extended the deadline to apply for the latest round of coronavirus food assistance program assistance. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters the sign-up period will be extended another 30 days to allow producers more time to apply. As part of the Biden administration review of federal programs, USDA suspended the processing and payment under the program. The American Farm Bureau Federation requested the deadline extension in a letter to Vilsack earlier last week. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval stated recent severe weather and suspension of CFAP payments led to challenges and confusion surrounding the application process. Vilsack says USDA is in the process of reviewing the program. Vilsack says, "We want to make sure that as we implement this next level of support, that we do so within the resources provided and do it in an equitable way and try to respond to some of the legitimate concerns." And in other ag news from around the country, the western half of the U.S. is reported in various stages of severe drought in the latest U.S. Drought Monitor released Thursday of last week. Much of the southwestern United States is in a classified extreme or exceptional drought, with the worst states being Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. The Drought Monitor reports frequent Pacific storms have battered the Pacific Northwest and tracks southeastward across the northern and central Rockies, dropping plentiful amounts of snow on Washington, Oregon, northern California, Idaho, and western Montana. However, the moisture missed most of the Southwest. In contrast, much of the eastern half of the U.S. is not experiencing drought conditions, with a few small pockets of abnormally dry conditions. Storms also dropped widespread precip on much of the southeast, mid-Atlantic, and coastal New England, while much of us here in the Midwest saw significant snow in mid to late February. And prior to the major snowstorm that covered all of Texas about 2 weeks ago, there was little to no precipitation that fell on South Texas and northeastern Texas and southeastern Oklahoma, and that was expanding the severity of drought there. Following the snowstorm, little to no precipitation has fallen since. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News for your Tuesday, farmers and landowners have until mid-month to make a couple of farm program decisions. They can join a University of Illinois webinar about the crop insurance and ARC PLC decisions this Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. Ag economist Gary Schnittke will detail the numbers, then talk about his recommendations for crop insurance, including ECO.
Given the premiums on those, I think most farmers may think about the 90% policy. I would first tell farmers to keep their RP coverage as high as they can, that they feel like they can keep it, 80, 85% in northern and central Illinois, 75 to 80 in southern Illinois, and then think about adding ECO on top of it.
Schnittke says ECO is not a game changer for crop insurance, but it will offer good risk protections. Those wanting to learn more about crop insurance costs and options can join Illinois' Gary Schnittke at 11 a.m. this Thursday for a free webinar. The details are on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And in other state ag news, on the livestock side of things, intense demand and high-caliber performance genetics pushed the 2021 Illinois performance-tested bull sale to its second-highest average in the last 53 years, with 34 lots of Angus, Simmental, and Polled Hereford bulls averaging $4,396 a head. The sale was managed by the University of Illinois commercial ag educator Travis Mateer.
Yeah, we're happy. We think, again, good value, though. We've probably the best set of bulls we've been able to sell, and I think this sale, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale, is known for bringing cattle in front of progressive, purebred, and commercial producers that are elite. And so it's no surprise to us that, but we're just glad that our buyers see the value in these cattle and that they can go back and work in herds and generate calves for years to come that can add value to their operation. Overall, we were fortunate to end up selling 34 bulls for a total of $149,455. That brings our total to $43.96. In our Angus division, we sold 22 bulls for $44.39 on an average. Our seven senior bulls bring $47.86 on average, and the 15 yearlings bring $42.77. On our semi side, we had two older bulls that were just knockouts, home run bulls. The two of them averaged 5,400. Then nine yearling semi bulls averaged 4,333. So our semi average on those bulls is 45.27. But strong sale all the way through. We saw folks that were bidding and buying on really good cattle today.
The sale was held last Thursday at the Louderman Auction Facility near Macomb, and the top-selling bull went for $9,100. And you can plan on hearing plenty of thunder, and maybe even some lightning can be seen in the sky this spring. That's the message from the National Weather Service, who warns this spring storm season looks like it will be a busy one. Chris Miller with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln says the winter we've experienced is setting us up for an active storm season once spring arrives. This week is also Severe Weather Preparedness Week, and Miller is refreshing everyone on the terminology you might see or hear during severe weather.
I want to make sure that people are aware, again, of some of the terminology as far as when tornado watches or severe thunderstorm watches are issued. Those are for large areas. That's usually, for maybe most of the state of Illinois. Could even be, a large part of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. And really what we're doing is we're telling people, this is kind of your first heads up that there's going to be storms in your area, and some of these could get kind of nasty. Some of these could have the high wind, the hail, and possibly tornadoes. When we issue warnings, we typically issue warnings for portions of counties, maybe a whole county if it's a big storm, but portions of counties to say, for example, Eastern DeWitt County would be in a tornado warning. And we'll list the towns in the path of that storm. And if you are one of the towns listed or nearby, even if it's just a few miles away, we're asking people, look, this storm means business. It's heading your way. Some people say, well, I always hear tornado warnings, and nothing ever happens. Well, no, when nothing happens, that's a good thing. But the other thing is really when we look back at the statistics, there aren't that many warnings that go out. In fact, last year, if we look back at pretty much any county in central Illinois, most areas we only issued, one or two tornado warnings for the entire year. So if you hear one of those warnings, that's time for you to seek shelter. That means that this storm is approaching.
Again, this week, Severe Weather Preparedness Week, is intended to get people thinking about their responses to severe weather, like where they would go in their home. If you're out in the public, Miller indicates a lot of stores and buildings will have plans posted. Miller implores the public that when a tornado warning is issued near you to still seek shelter. He says the high winds from that storm could impact several miles around it, causing lots of damage. And finally, moving on into local ag news here on your Tuesday, don't forget that the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is still offering scholarships for the upcoming school year for students wishing to pursue an agricultural major. The Macoupin County Agricultural Education Foundation is offering the scholarships to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents and or students of a Macoupin County high school who displays well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois college, university, or career technical education program and is currently majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a Macoupin County High School guidance counselor, ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy can be requested by contacting the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by email or phone. That email is mcfb@frontiernet.net, and their phone number is 854-2571. All applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by the last Friday of this month, March 26th. And in other local ag news on this Tuesday, don't forget this coming Saturday, the Madison County Fair Board will be having a drive-through chicken dinner fundraising event for this year's fair. Again, it'll be held on Saturday evening from 5 to 7 at the Madison County Fairgrounds in Highland. $10 gets you 6 pieces of chicken. And that concludes your Ag News here on this Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, March 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.